wolf on the hill is never as hungry as the wolf climbing.
Lone wolf is a term commonly used by many people. It means that they used to belong to a group, but left, to become stronger. By thinking and acting alone, the lone wolf acquires superior cunning, agility, imagination and skills unknown to members of the pack. The lone wolf is independent of and distances itself from the petty bickerings, expectations, demands, mediocrities and unfulfilled dreams of other people, groups or organizations. The lone wolf is often branded as the rebel.
For it is the sovereign lone wolf who stands alone in all of his or her glory. You are listening to Lone Wolf Radio, presented and hosted by Tom Metzger. Tom is now broadcasting from a newly relocated and improved bunker in an undisclosed location with internet access across the globe. So sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode on Lone Wolf Radio.
And to the boys and girls, it's Freya's Day, Ladies' Day in the bunker. How about that? Yeah. And you can send your donations to Tom Metzger, P.O. Box 1687. San Jacinto, California, 92583, cash, check, or money order. And we've got several in here already for this month. That's good. I appreciate that. Well, I see the Italians are finally waking up. They're seizing the rescue ships and impounding them. And they're sending their own ships out to gather up these migrants and return them to North Africa. Yeah, how about that? Now, if we can get the U.S. military ships, naval ships, to come and pick up all those troops that are wandering around Africa, shooting up the town, destroying the villages, so the people have to flee and take them back to the United States, Canada, or wherever they came from, then things would get back to normal. Yeah, we need some occupation change. That's what we need. And if you're one of those big military supporters, you're in the wrong place too, because the U.S. military, while saying it's to protect the national defenses of the United States, that's been bullshit for a long time. Instead, it's become one of the world's greatest occupiers and oppressors. And if you don't believe that, you better start doing some research and probably a third or better of the national budget goes to military arms, and those arms are sold all around the world to start shit in other countries. I don't want anything to do with this military. I don't even want anything to do with the American Legion. But yeah, your average person out there, he's a big supporter, especially the Trump people. Oh, we got to support our military. We got to have more arms. We got to have more guns. We got to have more aircraft carriers. We got to have all that stuff. What for? Oh, to defend America. Defend America. by bombing the shit out of other little countries in other parts of the world. Nonsense. If you believe that, you're dumber than I figured you were. That's as bad as these people that worship the Statue of Liberty. I've told you before, the Statue of Liberty was built as a gift to the Egyptian people. The Egyptians said, no, baloney, we don't want it. Don't bring it down here. So they pawned it off on the United States, and not they used that as the excuse of letting all whatever come into this country. It was a great deal for the industrialists of the day because it opened the door for a massive immigration of low-wage workers that were fleeing Europe, a lot of them, because of the same thing, the War of 1848. And that's where a whole lot of them came from. In fact, they furnished a lot of the troops for the Civil War. Yeah, people fleeing economic and military oppression tend to go places, any place they can go. You know what I mean? Let's quit kidding ourselves, boys and girls. Last night I tuned into a TV series, movie series, on the television. Yeah. And it was called The Last Tycoon. It had Kelsey Grammer, you know, from Frasier in it. And a pretty good cast of characters. It took place in Hollywood in the 30s. Kelsey Grammer was one of the top movie producers. He controlled a studio, but he wasn't the biggest because the Jews had the other three wrapped up with the big shot Jews. I forget exactly what their names were. Louis B. Mayer and Samuel Goldwyn and Zukor and so forth. Well, it seems that since this was during the mid to late 30s, money was tight and the bankers refused to give Kelsey Grammer any more money to make movies. So his protege, who of course was Jewish, didn't like it when Kelsey Grammer went to the Germans, because at the time the Germans were one of the largest investors in American movies. I don't think a lot of people knew that. And for some reason, under Hitler's reign, they had plenty of money. So this one big Jewish or German producer said he'd loan Kelsey all he wanted to make movies. But immediately there was a backlash from his Jewish supporters. And Louis B. Mayer and these guys, Warner and Zukor, they got together and said, well, we don't want those Germans into it, so those Nazis, so we'll loan you the money to make three movies. But if they're not a success, you're out of here. You're going to lose your whole company. All through this movie, or this series, there's a lot of anti-Jewish talk. It's quite interesting, quite entertaining, about what was pretty normal back then, about the attitude towards Jews. Anyhow, it's called The Last Tycoon. And it's on Amazon if you want to see it. Well, let's tune in to Ray McGovern, who transmits on Russia TV quite a bit. He's an ex-CIA analyst. Tune in on this so-called Russian thing.
The group Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, however, did take a closer look recently and found that the actual evidence, if any, proves that the infamous Guccifer 2.0 was in no way a Russian hacker, but had actual physical access to the DNC servers. We spoke with former CIA analyst and VIP spokesperson Ray McGovern, and here is what he had to tell us.
Well, we don't want to conflate two things. The way that WikiLeaks got their information on the DNC emails was from a separate copy, not a hack, okay? Copy, leak, put it on a thumb drive, give it to Julian Assange. We know that's what happened, okay? Now, this other thing was a construct, was a synthetic thing, which was arranged by this very shadowy person or entity called Guccifer 2.0. And sure enough, as soon as they heard from Julian Assange himself that he had emails, as he put it, pertaining to Hillary Clinton, that was on the 12th of June last year, they got busy saying, oh my God, what does he have? If he has enough, he can prove that we stole the election from Bernie Sanders, pure and simple. Huh? So what are we going to do? And the idea was, well, let's preempt it. Let's dig up a scheme here where we can blame this on the Russians, and then we can distract attention from the content of these emails. You know, why did the Russians do this? Why did the Russians do it? Okay. Work like a charm. Now, the evidence that we have now is forensic, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you would wonder why the FBI didn't do forensics.
Yeah.
It's a big, big mystery. You would wonder why the people composing that CIA, FBI, NSA document on the 6th, released on the 6th of January, didn't do any forensics, but they didn't do any.
That's the logical thing that you would do in any crime, is that you do the forensic analysis of the crime itself.
You would maybe look at the crime scene.
Exactly.
At least.
Exactly.
Somewhere where the crime scene happened.
Well, if you watch James Comey, you know, testifying before the House Intelligence Committee, Senate Intelligence Committee, they ask him about this, and he said, well, he says, I recognize, yes, it's far better to get direct access to these things and to do your own forensic. All right, that's obviously but we didn't do that. And nobody says, well, hey, people are saying this is an act of war by Russia, and you didn't do this?
Right.
I said, no, we didn't do it. Well, what happened was, after Julian Assange announced that he had emails relating to Hillary Clinton, on the 12th, so on the 14th, all of a sudden, we get this CrowdStrike, which is the firm hired by the DNC to watch all this stuff. And it's up. There's evidence of an intrusion here, and there's evidence that it was the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, wouldn't you believe it, Guccifer 2.0 said, yep, we can confirm that there was an intrusion, and we did it. And we're working for WikiLeaks. Give me a break, right?
Yeah, interesting.
So WikiLeaks released this stuff on the 22nd of July, okay? And the sorrowful thing for the DNC was that this was just 3 days, or 2 days, actually, before the Democratic National Convention began.
Mm-hmm.
And so they scurried around and said, how are we gonna explain this? And, my God, what's Bernie going to do when he finds out? You know, how? And they decided, we're well prepared. We could say the Russians did it. All we need is the complete cooperation by the so-called mainstream media. And if we can do that, we can have a magnificent, remember that magnificent obsession?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this would be a magnificent distraction. It worked. No one paid any attention to what was in the content of the emails. Always, why did Russia do it? This Russia is back at the war, see?
Yeah.
So now what's flowed out of that is very mischievous.
It is.
I mean, right now we have the President of the United States saying, I don't know, you know, could be Russia, could be... You know. All he has to do is ask his CIA director to find the people who work for John Brennan in this special cyber unit that he created and ask them, okay?
Exactly. Exactly. It's that simple at the end of the day.
How were you... So the data that was analyzed, how did you have access to it? And is it something that's just available to the public?
Well, you know, it's not just available to the public, and that's a really interesting story. It's not only veteran intelligence professionals for sanity that are interested in the truth, it's independent people. You know, people who have experience in these areas. There was no real incentive for major media to look into this, or even investigative reporters. And so it fell to a fellow who calls himself Forensicator, okay? Somehow, he got the key to what Guccifer 2.0 was talking about, and he unlocked the metadata, okay? Okay, now this is the key.
What did the metadata show? The metadata showed that on the 5th of July last year, information was copied onto an external storage device, like a thumb drive, at a speed that was so fast it could never have been a hack. It had to be a copy and a leak. And that's, you know, physics and the capabilities of the internet, the known capabilities at that time, they don't lie. And so we said, wow, let's see if we can research this. And so we have in-house capability. It won't quit. We have Bill Binney, Kurt Wiebe, and the others. They're previous NSA technical directors and all kinds of stuff like that.
I would trust their expertise in this matter a little bit.
Yeah. It certainly would be for James Comey.
So what the data said was this idea that when it was copied at a speed that could have only come from having a direct connection to that server, that computer.
And not only that, the metadata also showed where it was done. Guess where?
Where?
The Eastern time zone.
Ooh.
Not of Russia. Ooh. Not Vladivostok, or Washington, or Bangor, or Miami. The Eastern time zone, Eastern daylight time. You know, that's pretty incriminating, too.
Yeah, it is very incriminating.
And besides that, there was a format used, a kind of a template, which experts could see was superimposed on the data. Whether that template was superimposed then or before then, it was obviously an attempt to implicate the Russians because it came from a well-known Russian template. So those three things. The most important is the copying speed, because it couldn't be downloaded from the internet at that speed. Yeah. Everyone agrees on that, okay? Yeah. Now, even the scientists, some say, well, maybe now they could. Well, it doesn't matter if they can now. Right. What matters if they could in July of last year.
Why? Look, this is now you released this memo and all this information. VIPS released this, I want to say, last week. Now, it's been probably about a week and a half or so, 2 weeks. Why has it been kind of mum? Like, we haven't heard much. Like, you'd think the Republicans would jump all over this fact, and you'd think that even, you know, even elements of the media might jump all over this, even to try to debunk you, even to try to attack you for it. Why have we not heard a peep out of anyone?
Well, that's coming. We see
it
coming.
They're
planning it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, I am happy that the Republican politicians haven't seized on this, because this is not a partisan issue. This is physics. Okay?
Yeah.
This is the capability of the internet. Okay,
yeah.
And we've been saying all along that were it to have been a hack, it would have been intercepted by the NSA, and there's no reason on God's creation that the NSA wouldn't be able to divulge that, because all those collection mains were revealed by Ed Snowden.
That's true. That's very true. So they couldn't reveal it. Well, if it wasn't a hack, then they had nothing to reveal, and then that's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's curious.
Now, the Vault 7 WikiLeaks leak, I guess, or whatever you would have put it, that came out that talked about how there were ways to use data to make it look as if it was either Russian or Chinese or wherever. Really, it said wherever, that you can mask things for security reasons and all of that. Do you think a similar tool could have been used in this case? And at the end of the day, how is there any way to determine that for certain? Is there any way to know for sure whether or not that information that looks like it's coming from somewhere else is actually from there?
John Brennan, the head of the CIA, created a whole directorate, hundreds of people, for cyber warfare 5 years ago, okay? We know now what they were doing, because someone, Julian Assange says, a contractor, leaked all this stuff. Julian says this is a leak of such moment that it rivals Ed Snowden's leak in 2013. Now, you could find that out. All you have to do is get a CIA director that has the intestinal fortitude to say, hey, guys, I'm going to put you under oath and put you on a lie detector to see which ones of you were involved in this. Now, I can't say they were, but it's very, very coincidental that they had this capability, based on CIA documents now, to obfuscate. That's the word they used. That's a 35-cent word. Obfuscate. Now, what does that mean? To disguise the origin of a hack and then to impute responsibility to, well, someone speaking one of five languages, Arabic, Farsi, Chinese, Korean, and Russian.
Ooh,
in other words, you could leave telltale signs there in Cyrillic, the Russian language. Whoa!
Just to remind you how rotten a system you're living under, boys and girls, just to remind you what's going on and how so-called democracy and all that crap doesn't stand a chance. But you need to know it. You need to know this stuff. Well, let's dig back in the archives here, see if we can find something crazy, stupid on this Friday. How about that?
Meeny, miny, mo, catch a nigger by his toe. If he hollers, let him go, push his head under the water. Come here, man, you get on my head, you put my head under the water, I'm drowning. That's the idea, boy. This is Terrible Tommy again from California. Yeah, white Aryan resistance, emphasize white, this is war. P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088 or 221 East Clemens Lane,
Fallbrook,
California, 92028.
Disregard.
So send your orders in here, and we've got videotapes, audio tapes. We've got DVD, we got CD, we got, oh man, we got 100 radio shows up there, and about to put another one on tomorrow. I'll try to be as funny as possible. You know why Santa Claus has a smile on his face all the time? Because he gets to go to all the homes of all the bad girls. Yeah, right. Well, I've told you, boys and girls, always read the Wall Street Journal. I know it's painful, but if you're going to understand what's going on, read the Wall Street Journal, because yesterday, on the heels of the tragedy, at least some people call it a tragedy, in New Orleans, Halliburton stock, you know, Halliburton, that's the one who's making billions, instigating and carrying on this travesty in Iraq, their stock went up 3.75%. How about that in one day? Tragedy, disaster. The big corporations love it. They love it. And guess what? The insurance companies, all their stock went up. up. And you thought, and they're on the television saying, those insurance companies going to lose about $50 billion. They're going to lose their ass. Lose their ass hell, because after they get done paying it out, they're going to raise the rates. Yeah. And their rates never come down. And they're going to make a fortune after the fact. You got to get up pretty early in the morning to get past one of those big corporations. We got an Indian tribe around here bitching because they want to build a 30-story casino in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it would be the second tallest building in San Diego County, man. And the Indians say, well, we just need this thing. We got to have this thing. Well, Tommy says, it's time to get even with those Indians. You know, I think we made a big mistake when we didn't do the job the first time round. Well, anyhow, they keep sucking off us. You know, they got that reservation. Now they're sovereign. Well, then we're sovereign, too. Let's put a gate and a fence around all the Indian reservations, and when the Indians want to come on out here into white society or whatever, they got to pay taxes. They got to pay tolls. Why not? If they're sovereign, we're sovereign. Well, we could tax the shit out of them. So we'll end up with the money, and the Indians will be back with their smallpox in their blankets. John Kerry walked into a bar, and guess what the bartender said? How come the long face, John? New book out, The Rise and Fall of Global Corporations. It's going to collapse someday. It is. All this idea, all this dream of world conquest and controlling the world and making it all one big plantation. It ain't going to work. Yeah, I hear the churches, the black churches again around New Orleans, at least the second floor there. using those churches as staging areas for whatever. Of course, they're always going to praise the Lord, but then move out from there, and they're hungry as hell. They got to steal all the drugs and all the guns and all the alcohol, and then they won't be so hungry. Damn, if the Klan wanted a chance, they've never had one like this. Woo-wee! This is the biggest chance the Klan has had in 50 years. And they're running 25,000 of these people, at least, over to Houston. Ain't that great, Houston. You got enough niggas the way it is. And then you got all the Mexicans there. 25,000 and gangbangers coming into Houston. How about that? Yeah, and where is all those Klan groups over there? Because if 25,000 niggers and like that are invading Houston, boy, you ought to get with it, boys. That'll be the great fun for the Klan. Well, No Child Left Behind ain't working. No, the latest figures, and I listened to them yesterday. Those non-whites still can't get out of the gutter. They still can't get out of the gutter, which proves the whole basis of their philosophy is screwed. That everybody's equal. And we're all equal, and if we're not doing as good, there's got to be something wrong, and it's discrimination, and it's racist, it's you name it. Nobody wants to admit, except Terrible Tommy, you just don't have it, boys and girls. Well, that's a little teaser for tomorrow's radio show I'll be taping, and hope you like it. And remember, when eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a nigger by his toe. If he says, hollers, let me go, then push his head down underneath that. What a man. Something else to do, and he ain't got no sense anyhow. So here he comes up with a little ditty like this.
Don't go to Jackson. Don't go to Jackson Town. Don't go to Houston. It's all gonna be nigger bound. Don't go on up to Memphis. It's filling up with a coon. I'm going to Alaska and howl at the moon.
Well, wasn't that sweet? Wasn't that sweet old Terrible Tommy to sing you that little song? Sometimes I go down the road and I get these damn urges, man. Well, it looks like old New Orleans has gone from 67.3% to 28.1%. 67.3% black. Jesus. At 28.1% white. And as of this week, I guess it's down to about 10% black. And probably zero white. Oh, well, don't feel bad. We got Birmingham, 73.5% black. Tallahassee, Florida, 34.2%. Atlanta, 61%. Jackson, Mississippi, 70% black. Oh, my God. Shreveport, Louisiana, 50% black. Mobile, Alabama, 46% black. Knoxville, Tennessee, not too bad, 16%. Memphis, 61%, and you're getting a whole bunch more niggas up there. Ho, I'm not going to Memphis. Houston, 25%. Well, you need more niggas there. You're way down. You're way down on the nigger count. Dallas has got 25%. Corpus Christi, Texas, 4.7%. Well, they're doing pretty good, but they're going to ship them a bunch of new niggers because their nigger count is low, too. San Antonio, Texas, 6.8%. Well, you need some more niggers. Oklahoma City, well, they got Indians there, you know. 15.4%. A lot of those niggers call themselves Indians. Austin, Texas, 10%. Uh-huh. Not too bad, but you're going to get some niggers out of this. They're going to spread all those niggers around. Little Rock, Arkansas, 40.4%. Oh, they like the Clintons over there. They move in there to get on the dole. Nashville, 26.8% black. Wow. Well, it looks, let's see which has got the most whites. Let's see here. I can't believe this. Oklahoma City has 68.4% white. I don't, well, wait a minute. Corpus Christi says 71.6. And Knoxville, Tennessee, 79%. I don't believe those figures because, you know, a lot of those people they're calling white, they're no more white than my dog. We're just going to have to do something about this nigger breeding. What are we going to put something in the water or something? Well, we got some good news here. The illegal immigrants' death toll sets a new record. 415 wetbacks have died because they're so stupid to try to cross the border illegally through the desert. And that's surpassing a high of 383 recorded in fiscal year 2000. Well, isn't that something? We're just going to have to get more liberals down there handing out water, food, and give them housing, all that stuff. And by the way, you know, a lot of these niggas that are going out of that New Orleans, these stupid liberals out here in California and other places are saying, they can come and live with me. You know, a lot of people with nice houses, nice apartments. Hey, well, send me a couple, live with me. Well, you don't know what the hell's going to show up at your door. I would laugh. There was a young guy on television last night. He was saying that he could take in a black person, and I would hope to hell about a 350-pound fat black mammy shows up at his door with her satchel bag. I would give $100 to be there when that happened. You know, I shouldn't say liberal. No, because the conservatives, the conservatives are almost as bad on the race issue as the liberals. So instead of saying liberal, we'll just say social Marxists. Yeah, the social Marxists, they can't wait to get those niggas into the house so they can tell all their friends, see how I do not discriminate. No, I don't. I got this big, lovely, fat lady here. She stinks a little, but she wants me to give her a bath tonight. Oh, boy. Somebody called in here and said that hurricane was that Hebrew God doing stand-up comedy. I don't know. Well, there's a big Jew in trouble. Yeah, a big Jew over in Russia. Remember this Mikhail Khodorkovsky, former chief of Yukos Oil? You know how those Jews, they got all excited when Russia, the communism fell, and they got all the boys send the money from Brooklyn and New York and all that, and they bought up everything, and he monopolized the oil company. Boy, he was really flying high, but he's in jail now awaiting trial. One of the good things that our the president there, Putin, did in Russia. But now he says he's going to run for office. He's going to run for office while he's in jail. While they said he can while he's on appeal. Well, Putin, knowing the propaganda genius of the kikes, you better watch out, because here's a guy with all kinds of kikey money behind him going to run for office. I suggest you have that boy iced while he's in jail there and get this over with. Remember all that flap about getting people to stop smoking, and we're going to sue the tobacco companies, and we're going to take all that money and advertise against smoking and all that kind of stuff? Well, you know how the government is. They're a bunch of crooks. And if you haven't learned that by now, you haven't been around enough. Anyhow, $40.7 billion received by the states so far as a result of their lawsuit against tobacco companies, those evil tobacco companies. Only 5% has been spent on fighting smoking. Illinois has devoted $315 million of its payout to tax relief. Virginia spent $12 million to lay fiber optic lines. And North Carolina used 75% of its settlement for assistance to tobacco farmers. I keep telling you, boys, you can be a happy racist. It's all in the way you look at things. You know, I've seen a lot of these racists around the country. They got long faces, and they're upset about everything. And me, worse is better for now. And I read the paper. I laugh. I just get those old belly laughs. And I'll tell you. Now, here's one, too. About 160 people have been freed from prison based on DNA evidence since 1989. But only 17 have received any financial compensation from the state that convicted them. How about that? That's like one of those deals where you get raped and you don't even get a tongue in your ear. Well, up until about a month ago or so, the average low-income American, I think that's about everybody nowadays, spent about 8% of his income on gas. Oh, that was in 2002. Well, that was way back in the Stone Age. Today, about 11% of his income goes to gas. Well, now, that's old news, because by now I bet it's about 20% of his income is going for gas. And if you're working for a part-time minimum wage job, forget it. You're worth more money just staying at home and sweeping the floor. And uninsured Americans spend an annual average of $934 on medical expenses. Insured Americans shell out an average of $2,347 a year on health care, and it's a rising, baby. So I figure, you know, your gas, your power, your all this stuff, and your medical expenses, you ain't gonna have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. Well, I got sad news. Up in Orange County, California, they're gonna have a special primary in the 48th Congressional District, on October 4th, but that's the Jewish New Year when it's celebrated, I'll tell you, they all got together and they made an act of contrition. The supervisor, Bill Campbell, second from the left, he issues an apology to the Jews, and all these Orange County, California Jews are here in the picture, and Rabbi Heidi Cohen, and Shalom Elkott, and Joyce Greenspan, and Rabbi Mar Dvorkin. It was horrible. These horrible goyim were going to have an election to fall on Jew New Year. Boy, how insensitive, how unfeeling. Remember, we were gassed. Well, Thursday, September the 1st, the Los Angeles Times, you know, they're talking about the whole papers about the disaster in New Orleans. Now, you know, it's almost all black there that were there. You know, most of the whites had brains enough to get out of town. They had about 4 or 5 days. They knew it was coming. But anyhow, because they don't want to make it look too much like it's an all-nigger thing, they've got a picture on the front page of the Los Angeles Times, September 1st, a great big picture of a total, total mess there in New Orleans, and one little red-headed white boy sitting there all upset and frustrated, and I'm sure he was, with his little teddy bear. Well, you see, you know, I understand that, and that little kid should be taken care of, or any white kids that they can find down there, but you see what they do, and now they're going to be wanting to raise money. They're all out there raising money. They all have the raising money for the niggas, raising money for the niggas. This little boy will probably not get a dime of that money, but they put him right on the front page to pull your sympathy strings. Now, they're not going to tell you about all the white victims of the niggas while this was going on. They're not going to tell you about the little girl that was raped to death inside that Coliseum down there, whatever you call it. And they're not going to tell you about the little white boy that was raped in the ass until he died and they found him stuffed into a refrigerator. They're not going to tell you. They're not going to show you any of this stuff. They're going to just sort of, oh, these are all just victims, you know, and they were hungry, so they went out and stole drugs, they stole guns, they stole alcohol, because they were hungry. And, you know, these poor people, this goddamn press is the worst press in the world. It is a total Big Brother press. Well, they found a couple of radical Muslims inside the prison out here, and they were allegedly planning something. This has given the FBI an excuse. They ordered their agents nationwide to do threat assessments of prison inmates who convert to terrorist ideology, as in the recent Los Angeles case. Now, you know what that means? They're going to be jacking up all our friends in prison again. They got it bad enough, but they're going to get it worse now, so keep track of your POWs and see how they're doing. Now, there's a group over in Eastern Europe that sent me, I think it was $1,600, $1,700 bucks. Anyhow, it worked out to $200 a piece for the order members. And I saw to it that they all received their $200. And I think it's pretty sad that these guys, POWs, tell me they get very little contributions from right here in this country. But here's these guys, COTC guys from Eastern Europe and places over there that... that money's harder to come by over there. And they scraped up this enough for $200 a piece for the POWs. I'd be ashamed if I were you people out there. You better get an address of a POW and send them some damn money. Be a man. Be a woman about this. Be a white man or woman. Come on. Help the prisoners. Or I'm going to... Don't come talking to me if you're not going to help the prisoners. Well, it says here in the Wall Street Journal, which I read religiously, that is the actual Bible of this world, you know, the Wall Street Journal. Forget that Christian Bible or the Torah or the Talmud. The Wall Street Journal is where it's at, okay? A growing economy isn't lifting all segments of U.S. society, according to a Census Bureau report. It shows medium incomes and wages slipped a bit in 2004, while 50.1% of all income went to the top 20% of the households, matching the 2001 high. The poverty rate rose to 12.7%, the fourth consecutive increase. The number of uninsured remains steady at 15.7%. Well, I think it's a lot higher than that, and with the inflation, and you know, they try to say like there's no inflation, when a car today that cost you $5,000 20 years ago now costs you $30,000, $40,000. Houses, like here in California, the house that I lived in I bought for $13,950, is probably worth $300,000-$350,000 now, and they say there's no inflation. Why, hell, we were making a lot more money back in the 60s and 70s. Well, I got some good news from South Africa. It's bad news and good news. There's so many white women being raped by savage niggers that a fellow has devised a new invention. It's an anti-rape condom. And somehow that thing, when those, oh, man, gives me the willies and makes the hair stand up on the back of my head. But when they force their penis into that white girl's vagina, there's hooks and there's razor blade-like blades snap in and just strip them out, man. And, oh, that would be the funniest thing to see. That would be wonderful. I'll tell you, the first person from South Africa can get a video of one of these niggers trying to get himself loose from those hooks. Send it to me, man. Send it to me. Now, on this donations and stuff, now there's going to be some, asking for donations for white people during this problem in New Orleans, and it's going to go on for a long time because, I mean, there's no jobs and everything else down there. But be careful. Be careful. Make sure that the person is really one of us. I don't really believe in giving much money to the people who are race mixers and social Marxists, no matter what happens to them, because these are the people who would sit on a jury and hang your ass. They would condemn you and say, oh, I don't want nothing to do with these people. They're racist. So if you've got absolute identified white racists who are loyal to the struggle, then definitely we should help them. And probably the best way to do it is establish a bank account in a bank, a trust account, and help them out. But just because some guy sends you an email and says Joe Blow was a victim and blah, 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 sending money, don't necessarily be true. Well, we got some bad apples floating around, but probably the baddest of the baddest bad is this Lawrence Myers. Lawrence Myers. Have you run into Lawrence Myers? He used to be down around Speedway, Indiana. Well, I'll tell you, I ran into Myers at the at a National Alliance gathering with Dr. Pierce about 5 years ago. They invited me to speak. I ran into a couple of these bad apples, and Lawrence Myers was certainly one, and I pegged him right away as being a phony and probably an agent, and our agents followed him all the way down to where he said he lived, and he didn't live there at all. But he's been making a rounds, and I guess he sneaks into some of these rallies, maybe using another name, but keep your eyes and ears open for Lawrence Myers and give him an offer he can't refuse if he comes into your meeting or tries to infiltrate you. I wish he'd try to come to my house, to my bunker here. Oh, I'd love that. And then you've got this Vincent Breeding that I outed in the same meeting in Cleveland here 4 or 5 years ago as being really not white in the sense that that we think of white people, you know. Also, he wore leather gloves, which is very indicative of a person who doesn't want to leave fingerprints around. And Vincent Breeding, of course, became a good, good buddy of David Duke. And Vincent Breeding, he was pulling in, maybe he's still pulling in, about $450,000 a year in his porno business. And then Mr. Duke down there, who I guess don't have a house no more, he's paying Breeding allegedly $2,000 a month. $2,000 a month who in the hell knows what he does, only comes in 2 or 3 days a month, and Duke's paying him $2,000 or $3,000 a month. I don't know whether Duke's appetite in porno, I know he has porno inclinations, because I remember Carl Hand told me about the interracial black-white sex pictures that he found under Duke's bed years ago. Anyhow, Vincent Breeding, it's an interesting thing. The right-wingers, you know, they have problems with leadership. Yeah, they have a problem. Now, they want a goody two-shoes, allegedly, to lead them, someone who fears the Lord and all that kind of stuff. But why do they always end up with, you know, somebody like Duke or Breeding or even this Lawrence Myers, and I guess they got this Kelso come down from West L.A., and you know what West L.A.'s famous for? Fudge packing. I wouldn't say anything more because I don't know, but some real shit in the right wing, I'll tell you that. I'm glad I'm not a right winger. And what's sad to me is I get guys calling, you know, Duke was proven as blowing $500,000, and that was seen right in the U.S. Attorney's Office in the file of the trial and everything down there. David blew $500,000 of sucker, right-wing sucker money, and I put that out on my internet thing, and I had a guy call, how do you know that? Do you have proof of that? How dumb can you be? Go down there to the clerk of the federal court and well, I guess it won't, maybe it's not even there anymore, New Orleans, and pull a file on this bastard, and you read it yourself. Tommy don't lie. Tommy goes to the file. Now, guess who runs the ecstasy trade, the drug trade ecstasy? Well, I'll give you three choices. Niggers, Mexicans, or kikes? Well, I think you probably won. It's the kikes. Ecstasy is formulated in Amsterdam or Holland, but the prime instigators of ecstasy, it was created in Israel. Oh, yeah, that's God's chosen people down there. And I forget the guy's name, the godfather of ecstasy. And so they've been exporting that all over the world, and they have made billions off ecstasy. Well, guess how they were getting it into other countries? They were using Orthodox Jew students. You know, these guys with the black hats and the black coats and the little ringy-dingy-dings hanging down by their ears. Yeah, these wonderful little Orthodox Jews were smuggling all this ecstasy into Europe and the United States and so forth, because, well, a nice little Orthodox Jew, he wouldn't do something like that any more than a Catholic priest would fudge pack a little boy. Well, if you like movies, the movie scene is pretty lame this summer. I see now they got this Four Brothers movie out, and that is the most ridiculous thing, but people nowadays will buy this race-mixing crap. Four brothers, two black, two white. Now, don't ask me, and don't go see the movie. Don't spend your money. That set out to avenge their mother, who, I don't know, they adopted these black guys or what, but that's their big hook to get you in to see about these four brothers, two nigger and two white. That's enough to gag a maggot. Anyhow, another one come out now is Underclassmen. Another nigger white, you know, all the white girls love the nigger movie. Some new nigger called Nick Cannon is in the movie. I never heard of this guy myself, so there's another one to stay away from. But I did see a fairly good movie called Red Eye. Yeah, that was a pretty good movie, and the bad guy wasn't quite bad enough, or he would have succeeded, but he let his emotions get away from him, and that's what did him in. He was a professional, and that's what I would tell you people. Remember, it's keep your mind on business, and don't let it get personal. When you got a problem with the enemy, keep it business. Don't let it get personal. When you let it get personal, then your emotions get a hold of you, and you make mistakes. Oh, then we got this the movie out in the summer, 40-year-old virgin. I'm not sure, he's probably a Jew, but he's, you know, these Jews, a lot of them look pretty Aryan, and so he's playing the dummy, 40-year-old virgin. You know, here's the white guy being the stupid idiot again. So there's, if you want to waste your money, you can go see that one too. Oh yeah, along with that part I showed you about that, or told you about that picture of that beautiful little Aryan boy sitting in the middle of the rubble, which really tears your heart out. Then you go to the next page, and, you know, California sent 500 National Guardsmen down to New Orleans. And guess the first picture, who the first picture was of a big, brave, camoed guy with an automatic weapon. A nigger. So there is the nigger is going to save the day, and I'm telling you, we're living in a zoo. This is a carnival. This is Disneyland. This is the Wizard of Oz, all mixed up together. And you know that 50% of the cops in New Orleans, and I would say they were all black, they all left their post immediately. They went AWOL right away. One good thing, though, the Times-Picayune, that big old Jew paper, yeah, that's owned by that big family, I forget their name right now. They own, I think, the Portland Oregonian that really worked me over during my trial. Oh, I forget their name, but anyhow, it's a big Jew family. But anyhow, they got washed out and ended up in Baton Rouge trying to put a paper together. And I have no sympathy for those boys. And they were real hard on Byron De La Beckwith, I remember, two back years ago. So any of those papers, if they got washed out, burned out, blowed up, anything. Oh, yeah, and guess what? The niggers are burning all those big, nice shopping centers down by the river there in Louisiana. You know, they got looted, and all those yuppie shopping centers are being burnt to the ground. They're not being washed away. They're being burnt to the ground by your friendly nigger. But, you know, we gotta love the nigger. Oh, yeah. What can we do without the nigger? I think I told you that Halliburton stock, right after this tragedy, went up 3.75 points. See, what I'm telling you is that the way capitalism works, the way the big corporation financial game works, tragedy is what they like. Tragedy makes them a fortune. Now, they will lie, and they'll put on the sorrowful face, and they'll raise some money to send to the niggers, but they love tragedy. Halliburton, right up there. The insurance company stock went way up right after the flood because, as I maybe told you before, you got to understand the way insurance companies operate. Now, they own half the country anyhow, but the way it is they'll pay through the nose. They'll pay for the nose right now, maybe $100 billion. But then, right after they get done paying, guess what they do? They raise the prices through the roof. And then they never lower the prices. So they end up they'll make $500 billion off of a $100 billion payout. Yeah, I think that Jew family that owns that Times-Picayune and the Portland Oregonian and several other papers, I think it's the Newhouse family, the Newhouse Jew family. They're even worse than that fish wrap called the Tennessean. There's another son of a bitch. Yeah, I guess I told you I've got a call from the Jackson newspaper down there. And a week or so ago asked me about Brother Ray Killen, what I thought about it. And I said, number one, I consider all these men heroes, that they did what they had to do and what the whole South should have done at the time. They were invaded. They had every right to kill anybody they felt was an invader. And I think, unfortunately, we didn't understand that at the time. I know I was a young man. I didn't understand what was going on. I thought, poor nigger. I understand. You know, that's the way I was when I was young, like most of you, I guess. And but then as I got older and got more wiser, I began to see these guys were really heroes. Now, the only problem was that they went after small potatoes. And when you're in a revolutionary situation or an insurgency, you don't go after small potatoes. You go after the great, great, great big potato. Because they were betrayed by Wallace. They were betrayed by Ross Barnett. And in Arkansas, they were betrayed by, what's his name? Oh, I don't remember his name right now. But all those governors were trying to figure a way out that they could get out of that shit and still call themselves segregationists. They weren't. They were lying bastards. Remember when George Lincoln Rockwell went down there to Alabama, the governor... Governor Wallace had him arrested when he was just demonstrating in a park. So, you know where their mind is at, their mind was at. But I worked for Wallace for years, you know. I worked for him in two campaigns. I thought he was okay, but I finally got the word on him. Well, let me hold the presses, boys and girls. Hold the presses. New news. Venezuelan bad boy president Hugo Chavez, popular with the poor at home, has offered to help needy Americans with cheap supplies of gasoline. Quote, we want to sell gasoline and heating fuel directly to poor communities in the United States, unquote. The populist leader said at the end of his visit to communist-run Cuba on Tuesday. Chavez did not say how Venezuela would go about providing the gas to the poor communities, but the Venezuelan state oil company, PDVSA owns Citgo, S-C-I-T-G-O, which has 14,000 gas stations in the U.S. Bush, he's got you by the balls now. The offer may sound attractive to Americans feeling a pinch by soaring prices at the pump, but not to the U.S. government and its corporate leaders, which sees Chavez as a left-wing troublemaker in Latin America. Do you think the poor will care whether he's a right-winger or a left-winger? Petrol is cheaper than mineral water in oil-producing Venezuela, where consumers can fill their tanks for less than $2. Average petrol or gas prices have risen to $2.61 a gallon in the U.S., according to the U.S. energy information, and also there actually it's about $3 here, and I predict within a year it'll be $4. Chavez and Castro offered to train U.S. doctors free of charge. Now we don't have to import those damn dotheads. Chavez said Venezuela could supply petrol to Americans at half the price they're now paying intermediaries, the corporations who speculate and exploit consumers, if they were cut out. Whoa, man! Venezuela supplies Cuba with generously financed oil and plans to help Caribbean nations foot their oil bills. Chavez in Cuba to attend the graduation of the Cuba-trained doctors from 28 countries as seen off at the airport by Cuban President Fidel Castro. Washington has accused the two leaders of being destabilizing influence in South America. Well, I bet they are destabilizing if they want to give away free gasoline. Chavez and Castro offered to give poor Americans free health care and train doctors free of charge. How about that? Well, what did Tommy say? Well, where did I put it here? Well, I lost it. Here it is. Wait, yeah. Well, anyhow, I said, hey, Georgie, there in Washington, Chavez has got you by the balls, and I hope he puts them in a vise and squeezes hard. Oh, yeah, the right wing, of course, they all have always called me a Bolshevik. Who cares? Terrible Tommy here. Well, that was one of my quickies there. During the week, on the phone machine here, that's 760-723-8996, I'll slap on a couple of quickies during the week, comment, and as you can probably tell, that was recorded really before the hurricane hit. And so old Terrible Tommy has been talking about an oil crash for some time and talking about 10, 12 years, but I want to tell you something that my prediction that gas would hit $4 next year, boy, I was off. It's already going to be $4 the way it's going. I heard something about Maryland. Some places were selling for $5 and $7 a gallon. Now that reminds me of that HBO, I think it was movie or some. No, not HBO. It was made for TBS or one of them. A movie that just came out here on TV about 2 months ago. That was fiction, but it was exactly almost the same thing happened, only not quite as bad for New Orleans, but it knocked out all the refineries and knocked out all those islands and those derricks out there in the Gulf of Mexico, and then there was a big emergency, and gas went to $7, $8 a gallon, and look, I'm telling you, reality catches up with fiction pretty quick in this country. And now those dirty ragheads are trying to claim that their big old god of the Muslim thing did that down there. Boy, what a bunch of jerks. That big old god Allah, he doesn't have anything to compare with our powerful Aryan god. So he better keep his ass over there in the Middle East because he gets over this way, he's going to get whipped. Well, I get a lot of calls during the week, and I'm going to play some. These are actually backed up from last week, so anyhow, let's play some of them here at the...
Boy, that guy's windy. I forget when that was. Let me look. Let me check that out. That was 2005. That's quite a long time ago. Okay. Well, that's about it for this week, boys and girls. I'll be back on Moonsday with more interesting and funny stuff. At least I think it's funny. Okay, see you later.